Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A text for our message today is from Mark chapter 1. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me." So far the text. There was an incident in my life that I've never forgotten because it's never happened since then. And I was in the fourth grade, and my mom, as usual, signed us up for Vacation Bible School. And I could think of a million things I wanted to do other than going to Vacation Bible School. Climbing trees, playing with my friends, anything. But being locked up inside and having Vacation Bible School. But, you know, I didn't have a decision, and I didn't get a choice, and so we went. Now, we got late to the church because of all the arguing and whining. And so when we got there, everybody was already in their classrooms. And so we went and registered. And they told me where my room was. I knew where it was. So I went to the second floor and into the education wing and went to the door. And I can still remember looking through the little window that was in the door. And just seeing a room filled with unhappy children. And I could hear the teacher say, "No, no, it's going to be fun." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not buying that." And I slowly turned the door handle, and I walked in, and immediately, the faces on all these kids lit up, and they all said, "Yay, Ted's here, this is going to be great." I've walked into a lot of rooms, that has never happened, okay? People have never reacted to me walking into a room like that ever, it's never going to happen again. But it was a wonderful feeling. Now, I can tell you, the teacher didn't react that way. She had a look on her face of resignation and depression and just, you know, oh no, that type of thing, because she knew me. And it was such a wonderful feeling to be chosen, to be special. And I completely reacted in the wrong way to it. My first thought is, well, I really have to perform for these kids. I'm going to really give them a show. And I went on to be the most obnoxious kid in that class. In fact, that was the beginning of many times after that in Bible classes and Sunday school classes and VBS classes for the next 4 years of being sent out into the hallway with a desk, a chair, a piece of paper, a pencil, and a Bible, and being forced to write the genealogy of Jesus from Matthew like 10, 15, maybe 20 times, depending on how bad I was. By the time I moved, I had it memorized, okay? Matthew 1, 1 through 14. You try memorizing that. I've been really good since, so I don't have it memorized anymore, but I completely reacted in the wrong way to being chosen. Now, when you look at the disciples here as they're being first called to full-time discipleship, I kind of see the same thing happening. Even though they were very different people, the disciples had a lot in common, most of it negative. They weren't important, they weren't rich, and they weren't prepared. Now, they had one positive thing in common, too. And that is that they were called, that they were chosen. And they were chosen to be in the kingdom. Now, many times when we hear that word kingdom, we think of kingdom come. Okay? We're thinking about a future. We're thinking about heaven. And what it kind of occurred to me is if you ever watch movies about people when they go to heaven, right, in the pearly gates, old movies or even new movies, almost the same thing happens. As soon as they get to the pearly gates, you know what they want to do? They want to go back immediately to right a wrong or to fix a mistake or to send a message or to help somebody. In other words, as far as they're concerned, the kingdom, heaven, is a future event, and the kingdom is something that can be put off. And in fact, there's a movie that was written about it called Heaven Can Wait. I mean, that's what it's about. He wanted to go back. The kingdom is not the future. The kingdom cannot be put off. When Jesus says, "Now the kingdom is here," he's saying the kingdom is now. And the kingdom is following me. It's repenting and trusting in the gospel. And the gospel is the good news. And the good news is Jesus. It says we follow him. Disciples, these are the disciples 2,000 years ago, and discipleship is the same today, even though the circumstances in our environment is very different. No difference in discipleship. And over the next many weeks, we're going to see a perfect example of what discipleship is, both negative and positive. When you look at the disciples, you're going to see a lot of negatives over the next few weeks. They're going to become afraid when they shouldn't. They're going to worry when they shouldn't. They're going to ask for the wrong things and not ask for the right things. We're going to hear stories like when they came to a Samaritan village and weren't invited in. James and John turned to Jesus and say, "Hey, could you give us the power to rain down fire on these people and kill every man, woman, and child?" Great. Or when they were in the, you know, after Jesus had fed 5,000 people and 4,000 people with a little bit of food, they get into a boat, and you know why they're worried? Because they forgot to bring bread. What a dumb thing to worry about. Or the worst example of discipleship I can think of in the Gospels. It's where the disciples are so cold, they use a man, instead of showing sympathy for him, a blind man, they use him as an object lesson. They point at this poor guy, and they say, "Hey, Jesus, see this blind guy here? Why is he blind? Is he blind because of his sin, or is he blind because of his parents' sin?" That's the disciples. And that, by the way, as human beings and sinful human beings, that is a description of discipleship. But it's more than that. The most important aspect of discipleship always was the case with the disciples in the good times and the bad, and that is that they followed Jesus Christ. And in following him, they depended and relied on him more and more, and every day they realized how dependent they were on him. Yesterday was Marianne's memorial service, and when I saw the bulletin and looked at it, I looked at the gospel, and I'm saying, well, there must have been a mistake. I mentioned this yesterday, too, if you were here. And because it was the story of Jesus walking on water, and I've never used that as a memorial service of message, never. My first inclination was, well, obviously they made a mistake, so I checked all the chapters and verses in Mark, in Luke, and in John. Well, Mark and Luke didn't work at all. John was close, but there wasn't a 32nd verse, so I figured, well, this must be the one. And it turns out to be a wonderful text for a funeral memorial service because it talks about discipleship, the good aspects and the bad. And in that story of Jesus walking on water, it's also the story of Peter not walking on water, and Peter, being a disciple, reacting to his discipleship in the wrong way. He doesn't make just one mistake, he makes three. He fails three times. Number one, he fails to trust that Jesus is the guy walking out to them on water. Secondly, he fails to walk on water. Thirdly, he fails to realize he was never meant to walk on water. Jesus was walking on water to back up the truth that he was God. Okay, he just fed 5,000 people. Now he really wants them to understand, look, I'm God, I'm walking on water. And when he said to Peter, you know, why did you doubt? He's not saying, why did you doubt that whether or not you could walk on water? He's saying to Peter, why did you doubt it was me? And I'm sure at some point he said to him, you know, why in the world did you try to walk on water? Jesus wanted to show he was God. He didn't want Peter to start thinking he was God by walking on water. Fails three times. But when he was most vulnerable, as he's sinking, at that point, like I said yesterday, he had absolutely no question who Jesus was. He says, Lord. And then he said, save me. You see, then he is truly a disciple following Jesus. Then he understands how dependent he is on Jesus and his grace and his power. And it is the same with us today. Day by day in our lives as disciples, we are going to react the wrong way to being chosen, to being special in the eyes of God. We are going to fail. We are going to make mistakes. But just like the disciples 2,000 years ago, no matter how many mistakes they made, the one thing that never stopped is they never stopped following Jesus. And that's how they grew in discipleship. And that's how they grew in the knowledge of what it is to be a child of God, protected, loved, and cared for. In Jesus' name, amen.